Thank you for listening to the Catchify London podcast. For more information about CTF London, visit us on ctfl.life.
Isaiah 60. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." Why don't you just shut your eyes and just allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the truth that the glory of the Lord is on you. The glory of the Lord is on you. But listen to this, verse 2. "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But," everyone say, "but." Everyone say, "but." You know, I actually did a preach a few Christmases ago that was literally about 5 minutes long, and all it was "but Jesus." That whatever happens in your world, "but Jesus" is the response that comes from the sons of God, because it doesn't matter what happens in your world, "but Jesus." So everyone say, "but." "The Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." I don't know if you've noticed, but there is darkness in the world. I don't know if you've read the news, if you've watched the news, if you just know another human being, but there is darkness in the world, and things are not always going according to my plan or your plan or any human being's plan. There are some things that are happening. You know, I was praying about my city, and I mean my city, because London is my city. I have a responsibility and an ownership over the whole of London. So do you if you live in London. My city has taken some knocks in the last year or so. There has been the fire at Grenfell. There has been terrorism there. Do you know in East London, there is a routine happening with some youth throwing acid in people's faces. There has been riots. There has been stress. There has been trauma. The Bible says darkness covers the earth. But, and that's the key phrase in the passage, because it would be really easy to get disheartened by reading the news, watching the news, or just meeting with other people, because there's some stuff going on in this world that looks like darkness. But our response as sons of God to darkness is, "but Jesus." We were, myself, Matt and Kate were praying yesterday. You know, there is a problem in the world. There are lots of problems in the world, but the Father has a solution. Look at the person next to you and say, "Wake up, it's you." The Father has special force, trained, highly equipped, highly dangerous solutions to every bit of darkness in this world. Look at the person next to you and say, "It's you." You need to realize that you know the solution to all the problems in the world. Darkness covers the world, but the glory of the Lord has risen. The glory of the Lord is upon you. Everyone say, "It's upon me." It's me. When we were praying, we were talking about what does a solution look like. And one of the things that came out this morning was, I really want us to get a bigger God. I don't mean a different God to the one that you've been worshiping all day. I need a revelation of how big your God is. Some people come up to us in ministry situations and they're like, "Oh my word, I really don't think prayer's going to work because," and then they'll just talk about the bigness of the problem. And I'm like, you need a different God. Like, you got the wrong God there, because if you approach any situation with anything other than, "but God is bigger," you've got a wrong God. You've got to read your Bible again. You've got to get revelation from the Word of God and actually meet this person called Jesus Christ of Nazareth and realize how flipping awesome he is. He is massive. He is huge. He is powerful. He is wonderful. He is marvelous. Those words mean something. He is the solution. He has a solution. He is the solution. And as we were praying yesterday, God was getting my world bigger. Because you know what's really easy? And I don't want to judge Christians, okay? You know, as soon as someone says that, there's a but. But I'm going to. No. There is way too many people who know Jesus and are doing nothing about any darkness in the world. And that is obsolete or dysfunctional Christianity. We have the solution. But here's the deal. God's children around the world are being awakened to a revelation of the kingdom. They're being awakened to a revelation of the power that is in Christ Jesus, the power that is in the Father and who we are as sons. And all of this stuff is stuff that we teach on a weekly basis and come on our schools of ministry. We've got 45 people on our school of ministry on Mondays. Come and join us. We want people to have revelation of who he is, who we are, and what the kingdom is. And there's a revelation going out around the world right now, and there's so many centers around the world who are awakening Christians to the fact that there is an answer, and it's woohoo, and it's so exciting, and we're getting healings, and we're getting words of knowledge, and we're getting revelation, and we're getting breakthroughs, and we're getting deliverance, and people are being raised from the dead. It's awesome. But as we were praying yesterday, I just felt God saying that did you know that healing is not the solution? Deliverance is not the solution. Words of knowledge are not the solution. They are a pathway to the solution. And I just really felt in this culture, everyone's like, yeah, we know healing the sick, and we know revelation, and we know breakthrough, and we know deliverance. We know this stuff. But I just felt God just stretching our mindsets wider, because there's healing. And this is where I don't want to come against the revelation of healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, preaching the kingdom, because that would be coming against what Jesus told us to do, okay? That's not what I'm doing. But what I'm saying is that the idea of healing and breakthrough and deliverance and words of knowledge and the prophetic and all those sorts of things, they are not the solution to people's problems. They are a way of them coming to the solution. The solution is heaven on earth. And I think we just need a bigger mindset. We just need to break off the minutiae and the specific nature of our issues and other people's issues, and stop thinking that the thing that this person who's got sickness needs is a healing. What they need is heaven on earth, and a healing is a small part of that. We had a guy in a wheelchair years ago at a conference, and it was a charismatic knees-up conference. And so there's lots of fun happening, and there's bodies on the floor, and there's rolling, and there's laughing, and there's crying, and, you know, usual church. And this guy was in a wheelchair. And I looked over, and we were part of the ministry team, and I looked over, and this guy just had like 30 people around him basically trying to drag him out of his wheelchair. And I just felt really sorry for him. And I because I was part of the ministry team, I went up and I was like, guys, go away. As part of the ministry team, I'm asking you to go away. And it's not that they were doing the wrong thing. I just think that they had a microscopic view of what this guy needed. Because I asked God, what does he need? And he said, obviously he needs healing, but first he needs his heart reconciled to me. And everyone else just saw the wheelchair, and they're just pouncing on the idea that he needs healing because of his wheelchair, and they hadn't even asked Jesus what came first. And what came first is his heart being reconciled to Christ. And so I asked God, what does he need? And he said, his heart reconciled to Christ. So I got rid of all the excitable charismatics, and I just said, I'm really sorry that no one's actually seen you. They're just seeing a wheelchair. It feels a bit strong, but it's not wrong to pray for people to come out of wheelchairs. That's awesome. But it's wrong if that's the only thing you're seeing, because the healing to that person's problem is only a very small part of heaven onto earth in that person's life. And what he needed more than walking was his heart reconciled to Christ. He needed a heart healing more than he needed his legs healed. I just feel God is saying too many of us in the charismatic church have got a minutiae kind of view of what God wants to do. Don't get me wrong. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows the small stuff. He knows everything that there is in your world. But he wants to have heaven on earth in your life. He wants to have heaven on earth in your marriage. He just doesn't want you to love each other better. He doesn't just want you to communicate better. He doesn't just want you to have a home that is welcoming to your neighbors. All of these things are brilliant, but what he wants is heaven on earth in your house. What he wants is heaven on earth in your workplace. We've got to get a bigger view of what God wants and not just see these small problems and think that once we've prayed for that person, that's the end of our role, because our role is to bring heaven on earth. We were praying about what does it look like? What is heaven on earth? And, you know, there's literally a million different answers to that question. But when I was praying with Matt and Kate, we were praying, what does it look like? Instead of us coming up with a great idea of what heaven on earth looks like in my marriage, what heaven on earth looks like in our home, what heaven on earth looks like in our community, what heaven on earth looks like in this church, instead of us coming up with a bunch of ideas, which will all be biblical, but not necessarily right, why don't we ask him? Well, there's a thought. Let's ask. And then we were talking and I'm like, let's ask the Father what heaven on earth looks like in his heart. Does it look like these people being healed? Not primarily. What it looks like is a whole, and I mean whole in all the senses of the word, a whole healed up, as in sozoed, family relating to him as Father. That's what heaven on earth looks like to the Father. And getting your body healed and your heart restored and your demons gone and all those sorts of things, they're all ways, they're great, but the point of them is to reconcile children to the Father. When I'm asking, what does heaven on earth look like to you, Dad? He's like, my kids, knowing me for who I am. And I'm like, whoa, that changes everything. Because it's not just about, I want to get another person saved. It's like, I want to be part of the Father seeing his design of heaven on earth. Reconciled family to him. You know, and the Apostle Paul wrote it, some dude wrote it in 2 Corinthians 5 about we are ambassadors, and our role and our mandate is the reconciliation of man to their creator. But what does heaven on earth look like to Jesus? I've never even asked the question until yesterday. Like, what does heaven on earth look like to you, Jesus? Well, Jesus is the lover of our souls, but he's also the redeemer, the healer, the savior, the deliverer. That's what heaven on earth looks like. But they're the mechanism. So what does heaven on earth actually look like to the heart of Jesus? Well, Jesus came so that we would be reconciled. It looks like his brothers and sisters being reconciled to his Father. That's what heaven on earth looks like to Jesus. And I'm like, everything's starting to get a lot bigger. Because it's not just about this disease or this illness or this oppression or this poverty or this relational dysfunction. It's not just about the fact that you may feel abandoned or rejected or whatever it is, you may have fears in your world. It's much bigger than that. Heaven on earth is bigger than the individual breakthroughs that happen. And do not hear me wrongly. They are awesome, but they're unto something. They're not unto me being able to say, actually, this year we have seen probably 60 blind eyes healed now. That's awesome. I'm celebrating it. I'm not boasting about it because I didn't. Clearly, I can't do that in my own strength. But he did it, and we were there in the room, and that's really exciting. But my world got bigger yesterday as we were preparing for this message. My world got bigger because the blind eyes are just a part of people getting into a whole situation, a sozoed situation, a healed, restored, delivered, and rescued situation, the people being saved. It's about sozoing people. Sozo is not an inner healing ministry. Sozo is bringing everything about a person back together again. It's also called an inner healing ministry, but that's not the point. The word did not start in Bethel. Love sozo ministry, but that's not where the word started. The word started in the Bible and probably before that, and what it means is bringing a person back together again the way they were designed. What's the function of bringing everyone back together again? Healed, saved, delivered, rescued. so that they can be reconciled to the Father. Heaven on earth looks like family. Not your definition of family, His definition of family. I was saying in pre-service prayer that, you know, too often we come and we're like, God, we want to see this and we want to see that. And they're all great prayers. I'm not coming against that. I'm calling you into a higher place of maturity in God tonight. Okay? And it's not that all of these things are wrong. It's that there's a greater desire and there's a greater prayer than just seeing this, that, or the other happen in this room or through this room. The greater level of maturity is to realize that all of the things that happen, and we love it when those things happen, but they all happen on the grand scheme of His great tapestry of bringing the whole of creation in reconciliation back to who He is as a Father. There is a bigger picture. Heaven on earth. And as we realize that He is the solution, we can then extrapolate from that place that He has the solution because He is the solution. And therefore, there's a confidence that starts to come to the body of Christ. If you know who you are in Christ and you know whose you are in Christ, i.e. a son or a daughter of the Father, then there's a level that rises up. There's a confidence that starts to come into us because we walk into situation and it's not like, oh no, darkness. Because we're not intimidated or afraid by darkness because we know the solution and His name is Jesus. We know what the plan is. We know that it's to reconcile everyone back to the Father. And so we've got the bigger picture. And so when you turn up into a hiccup, don't get me wrong, I'm not minimizing the problems in people's lives. I'm contextualizing the problems in people's lives. Because removing those problems in and of them, do you know how many people we've seen healed, but they never said yes to Jesus? They never, like, healing unsaved people is really easy. I'm serious. Going out on the streets and seeing healings happen is really easy. Healing Christians is a harder job than healing non-Christians because church has taught them for decades not to be healed, basically. Going out on the streets and getting the sick healed is not that's just the first step. And there's all these Christian cliches, which I use all the time. They're not bad cliches. They're just Christian little statements like, that was God on the outside. Would you like God on the inside? You know, the healing is not the point. It's an open door so that something else can happen. Now, you may not be the one that saves that person, gets that person saved, but you're sowing a seed. But there's lots of people who get healed, but they never know Jesus. Now, that's not in and itself your problem. But we need to understand there's a bigger picture. We need to understand that healing that we saw was just part of a bigger picture for that person's life and that person sozoing back so they can be reconciled to the Father. When we understand that He is the solution, we can understand that He has the solution. And then from that, it's like a triangle. This is what we worked out yesterday. Because I was feeling like this was going to be chronological, but it's really not. From that, there are two statements which I believe the Holy Spirit is going to impart into your heart and your spirit tonight. The first statement is, I am the solution. Okay? Everyone say, I am the solution. I am the solution. Now, the context of that is that He's the solution, but we've all been taught, because we've read the Bible and we've been on immersion days and we've been on schools of ministry, we've all been taught that Christ lives in me, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. And therefore, it's because of Him. That's the caveat. He's the solution. But because He's a solution and He lives inside of me, I am the solution. That's one revelation that comes out of the truth that He is the solution. The second revelation that comes out of that truth is that we are the solution. Okay, so everyone say, we are the solution. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am the solution. Then say to that person, yes, you are, but we are the solution too. And one without the other doesn't work. One without the other doesn't work. If you only get a revelation that I am the solution, that I have the solution, then you end up what some would call a jerk. Because you think it's all about you. Some have labeled that the Messiah complex. That if, you know, there are some people that say, if I don't go and win that person to Jesus, then they're going to hell. Not realizing, do you know God doesn't need you? He's chosen to use you. Awesome. But he doesn't need you. He's chosen you. Very different statements. You need a revelation that you are the solution to the world's problems. But you need that revelation in context of the fact that we are the solution to the world's problems. If you only have I am the solution, then you end up lone wolf, weirdo. Okay? But if you only have the revelation that we are the solution, then you end up with abdication. And what can happen so often in an awesome family like we have is that, and you've heard me say this before, I don't really need to worship because the worship team are awesome. I don't need to hear from God because the prophetic team are awesome. The revelation station is awesome. So I don't need to have a personal relationship with Christ because those guys are so gifted that they'll tell me what Jesus wants me to know. I don't need to pray because our intercession team, our prayer team, our inner healing team, our prayer ministry team, and every other version of prayer team that we've got in the church, they're so equipped and they're so awesome and they're so anointed and they're so gifted. There's no point in me praying. Got other stuff to do. And so if you only have the revelation of we have the solution and we are the solution, you can end up not being awakened to the fact that, and this is what Kate said yesterday when we were praying, if you only have we are the solution, then that dysfunction, it doesn't exist unless you also have the revelation that I am the solution. Because without the I am solution in community, there is no we are the solution. Unless you turn up, unless you step in, unless you arrive in the kingdom of God, there is no we. There's just a couple of supersonic Christians at the front with a microphone. But with the kingdom theology is that we are the solution. But the we is a whole community of I am the solutions. Do you understand that? You can't have one without the other, because either you get weirdo lone wolf, I can change the world, and if I don't turn up, no one's getting healed, weird stuff, or you end up with abdication because everyone else can do it. We need everyone doing it full of I can do it people, because of, remember the context, he is the solution, he has the solution. And so the revelation that I felt God wanted to release, it started, and I'll blame Banning, Liebscher, from Jesus Culture. It started with a talk that he did at European Leaders Advance this year. And he gave this story about someone who came up to him bouncing. He's like, Pastor Banning, I'm so excited because I led one of my neighbors to Jesus. And he's like, awesome, well done you, that's amazing, so proud of you. And they said to Banning, so can you tell me the venue of the next New Believers course? And he looked them straight in the face and he went, your front room. And they're like, okay, yes, we can do that. Who's going to be leading it? You are. And then he said this phrase that has been, it just hit me. I mean, as a church leader, I'm like, Banning, I'm getting you to my church and you're preaching that message. But he said, this phrase that he said was, be the solution. Be the solution. There are so many people who are waiting for someone else to be what you've been called to be. Like I was saying this morning, I don't know why I got stuck on bowls, but if you think that your life is enriched by bowling, and you think that that's an evangelistic opportunity, but it's also something that brings you life, then why are you waiting for the church to provide a bowling community? Start it. You are the solution to whatever lack you see in the body of Christ, in the context that we are the solution. Do you know, Philly in Costa last week saw a guy who was blind starting to see. Do you know what she didn't do? See the guy who was blind in one eye come into Costa and go, don't move. Leg it over here, panting and sweating, and go, Ellie, you're in charge of healing the sick. There's the sick guy. I need you to go and pray for him. That's not what happened. She's like, I'm here. I'm the solution. Because he's a solution and he lives inside of me. I'm the solution. You know, family to me is about doing stuff together. That may not be your definition of family. But because it's our definition of family, we do a lot of stuff and we invite a lot of people to do a lot of stuff with us. And we see that as community and family. You may have a different definition. Awesome. You're probably not the only one with your definition of what family and community should look like. Congratulations. Start it. Go for it. Be the solution to the lack that you see and attract other people who are like-minded. We're about to start what we think we're going to call huddles, but may come out with a different name in the end, of like-minded, like-interest sorts of groups. If you want to do films with other people who are interested in films and have an amazing ability to see Jesus in every single film, start the group. We'll help you advertise it. Congratulations, you are the leader of it. Now, that's not a pastoral community. We're talking about you stepping up and going, I see a little gap. I'm going to be the solution. Do you know how many people have said to us, well, there wasn't any coffee tonight? When the refreshments wasn't set up. I'm like, congratulations, you're on the rota. If you noticed, it's a calling on your life. Because that's what it looks like to be activated in the kingdom. If you are close to Jesus, when you notice things, it's probably him causing you to notice those things. Other people notice other things. And congratulations, we're promoting them to lead those huddles. We're going to call them chuddles. A huddle where you get a cuddle. That was just my idea, and Alistair shot it down the moment I said it. I don't know, I just... There are people in this room who are interested in what God is doing in the government. We have something for you. There are people in this room who are introducing kingdom values into their workplaces. We have a group for that. We have lots of different stuff going on. But if you have an interest, if you find life somewhere else, then congratulations, it's yours. And I really felt that there was an awakening here. And this is twofold. There's an awakening for the fact inside and outside of this house. It's not just about this church, because this isn't the church. This is an expression of the church. And there's things that need to happen so that we can all be comfortable and have excellence. And Zach needs more people on the setup team because we need more people to help us have excellent worship. We need people to help with refreshments. We need people to help with connections. I love connections. I'm out there. Most of you will have met me because I'm there and I'm just hugging everyone that walks in and you're like, I don't even know you. I'm going to hug you anyway because I love that. But if that's me. If you have a real burden for prayer and intercession and you want to create a spiritual atmosphere, then congratulations. We have that. Come join it. But it's not just about in the house. I'm talking about an activation of the I am the solution and we are the solution outside the house as well. Gave this story this morning. I'm a veterinary surgeon. For those of you who don't know, I still do 1.5, 2 days a month. I was meeting with a vet and she was like, I'm not feeling it. I don't have any motivation for my job and I'm thinking of quitting and da-da-da-da-da-da. And so I'm like, okay, I could refer you to the counseling department or the senior leaders of Medivet, or I could refer you to a careers advisor. No, of course I didn't. I'm in the chair. Therefore, I'm the solution in that moment. I'm the one who's there. I'm not just going to be like, oh, well, wait there a minute. There's someone over there who needs some wisdom in there. No. I am the one who is there. And so I'm not like lone wolf, do it all on my own. But I asked Jesus, you are the solution. You live inside of me. What's the solution? And I said, I believe the problem is not the veterinary career. The problem is that you don't know why you were created and why you're here on this planet. And that was the end of that as a business meeting. So the word of knowledge unlocked the door. Now I'm thinking, okay, I was that solution, but I don't know necessarily, and she's a female. I actually said to her, if you're in my church right now, I'd hug you. but it's not really appropriate in a veterinary practice. Therefore, what I'm going to do is step into the We Are the Solution, and I message Hannah Graham. Hannah, at some point in the next like 10 minutes or maybe a couple of days, could you meet up with this vet because she doesn't know what she's supposed to be doing in her life? And Hannah went and had coffee with this vet. And Hannah had a word of knowledge because Hannah, part of the We Are the Solution, stepped into the I Am the Solution, had a word of knowledge about the fact that she said, I think you need to paint. Okay. Like my response would have been like, that's what you said? I sent you all the way to the other side of London and that's all you came up with? That would have been my response. The vet's response was, oh. Because that's what her childhood was all about. That's where she found her safe place. That's where she found her creativity. That's where she found her purpose. So Hannah releases a word of knowledge, and now I meet the vet a couple of weeks later, and she's like, I'm having the best time ever. I love my career. I love my practice. I love my life, and blah, 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 blah. We are the solution filled with people who know that they are the solution. You could get excited if you're not careful. Come with me to Romans. As we were praying yesterday, I said, there's this verse. And Kate said, it's going to be in Romans. Everything's in Romans. Love that. Romans 12. Going to start in verse 3. It says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given to you. We are not supposed to think too much of ourselves. We are not supposed to think too little of ourselves. We are supposed to think of ourselves in accordance with who God made us to be and what He says about us. We do a lot of talks about identity in this culture, and one of the things I've said again and again and again is that no one has the right to define who you are. Not your parents, although they have an influence in who you are. Not your teachers, not your spouse, not your friends, no church leader can tell you who you are. Only the Father can tell you who you are because He's the one that created you. We're to think of ourselves exactly as we were created to be. And then listen to this. Verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. And then listen to this. And each member belongs to all the others. You are part of a body that really doesn't function as well as it could do when you are not functioning within it. You know, the problem with Kevin in Kenya right now is that his bone marrow is not functioning properly. It's not producing the right cells and it's not producing the right number of cells. When the bone marrow stops doing what it's supposed to be doing, we call that disease. When the liver stops cleansing the blood, when the liver stops producing red blood cells, we call that disease. When you don't behave and act and step up and step in and arrive in the body of Christ, we would call that a disease within the body of Christ. We need you. We need you to be exactly who you've been called to be. And some of you are round pegs in square holes. Some of you have been placed either by your own choice, by leaders' choices, or by life circumstances, and you're in the wrong place. We need the head to be on top of the body and the feet to be on the bottom of the body. All of the parts, all of the members of the body need to be in the right place. Otherwise, we call that abnormal. And if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're not in the right place, if you're not living as God created you to live and emitting the kingdom in the way that you were created to emit the kingdom, then that's abnormal. That's dysfunctional. And we need us to be functional. And so start a huddle, join the setup team. But the point is not that. The point is we need you to be you within the us. As we, do you know, Jesus changed the world with 12. Imagine what God could do in this great city with 300 to 400 people who know who they are in Christ Jesus. And you're like, wow. And you know, we've got this real heart to change the government in the UK. And it just so happens that God's given us another two people that work in government who are joining the church who are here this morning. And it's like, God's on this. God is on this. And you may not feel that your definition of the body, your definition of family, your definition of community, your definition of what it was you were created to do is being expressed. Congratulations. You're the answer to that problem. Wow. And so if you, like me, you think, see, family for me was trips and building stuff or digging stuff or destroying stuff or creating stuff. That's what family looks like for me, and you'll see that in our life. When we talk about come join the family, I'm like, get in my car, we're off somewhere. We're going to build something, we're going to crack something, we're going to dig something. That's what family looks like for me. But family to you may look like having eggs and bacon every morning. Now, you won't be the only one, there's other people here. So congratulations, be the solution. It may be that when you're in Costa Coffee next week before the service, a sick person walks in. Congratulations, you're the solution. But have a wider brief. Well, have a wider picture, because it's not just the healing that that person needs. It's a reconciliation to the Father as part of a family. And that has to be the big picture that we all see. And so, many of us have been lone wolves, and many of us have abdicated our responsibilities because we've only had one of these two revelations. And some of you may be there thinking, I never even realized, although you would never verbalize it, that God was the solution in the first place. So we have three different forms of ministry just about to happen. He's a solution. There is nothing bigger. And I think Chloe or Tom or someone said it earlier. There's nothing bigger than God. There's no problem that's bigger than his grace. There's no issue that's bigger than his power. There is nothing that he can't solve in your life. Nothing. So excited by the amount of miracles we've seen this year. A lot in this room, actually. There were two kids who were both cross-eyed, which is odd in itself. But they were both cross-eyed, and God broke in, and both of their eyes went... Like, they were cross-eyed, and that was affecting their whole life, their study, their school and everything, and now they're seeing straight. Right over there in this room. Because someone realized that he's the solution, and they reached out their hand knowing that because he lives inside of them, they're the solution, and they released heaven on earth into those children's lives. That is exciting. Why don't you stand? So we're going to get some revelation, then we're going to cut off some issues of the past, and we're going to be getting some healing, and then we're going to release an impartation so that you can be different tomorrow. And I'm going to set some homework. Here's the homework for everyone who's in the room, for anyone who's watching or listening on YouTube or the podcast. The homework is tomorrow morning, you ask Jesus to keep reminding you that you are the solution. So that when you go to work, when you walk into your family, when you walk down your street, when you go to the shops, you haven't just got a where's the problem mentality. You've got where's heaven mentality and bringing heaven on earth through your hands. Look at your hands. Some are softer than others, but they are all dangerous weapons in the kingdom of God's. Look at your friend's hands. Say, they look particularly dangerous to me. Okay. First comes revelation. Heavenly Father, would you breathe right now into every heart in this room? And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us into the truth of who Jesus is in our lives. I ask right now that you would release a revelation that says, God is the solution. God has the solution. Why don't you say that? God is the solution. God has the solution. And Holy Spirit, we just ask right now that you would just breathe that as revelation. We've released it as information, but God, we want it to be impartation and we need it to be revelation. We need our lives to change in this moment because of us receiving a truth to a higher level. And why don't you just, if you've got stuck on the evidence of God, that the healing, the sign, the wonder, the miracle, amazing as they are, if that's the finish, if that's the product for you, then I want you to just realize and maybe say this: heaven on earth is bigger than any miracle. Heaven on earth is bigger than any breakthrough. Heaven on earth is bigger than any prophetic words. And then why don't you say this: Holy Spirit, teach me there's a bigger picture. And then if you have ever felt that it sounds harsh, but called it the Messiah complex. If you've ever felt that it's all about you, you know that Christ lives in you, but you've been isolated, that you've gone it alone, whether it's in salvations, whether it's in healings, whether it may be in business, whatever it is, if you felt no one else is like me, no one else understands me, and you felt isolated, then we're going to repent for that. But in the same way, we're also going to repent for any time we've abdicated our own responsibilities and we've left it to the rest of the body of Christ to bring heaven on earth. So we need to repent for those things, and we need, because repent means to turn away to a new thing. And so why don't you just say, Heavenly Father, I choose to repent for any isolation that's happened in my life where I haven't been part of the body of Christ. And Heavenly Father, I repent for any abdication when I have allowed the body of Christ to do kingdom without me. I turn away from those things and I turn towards you, Jesus. I seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And then why don't you just speak it out? You said it earlier. I am the solution because he's the solution. And then speak out, we are the solution because he's the solution. Chloe and I speak out a list of declarations almost every day that are made up of our godly beliefs, and they're made up of prophetic words that have been spoken over us. We have a list. I've got about 20. Chloe's got about 25 that we speak out every day. And I really encourage you to create your own list that you declare out as you wake up. But I really want you to put on that list, I am the solution. We are the solution because he is the solution. And you speak it out at the start of every day because it trains your soul to the truth of who he is inside of you. He lives in you, the hope of glory. He's inside you. You're the son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're a daughter of the King. It's who you are. So I really felt my prayer for today was an awakening of individual revelation of who you are because of whose you are, and then an awakening of the body and the connectivity and the community and the family that stood around you. I'm looking out here and I'm just looking at testimony after testimony after testimony after gifting after anointing after just awesome. Turn to the person next to you, say, you're awesome. Turn to the person in front of you, say, you're awesome. Turn to the person behind you and say, you're awesome too. Okay. And the minute, there's two ministry times going to be in two sections. The first thing is I'm going to ask everyone to get in twos or threes. Find someone. Make sure everyone's included. Go on, you can do that now. Find someone. Find a friend. Doesn't matter. Make sure everyone's included. It can be fours if that makes it easier. Twos, threes, or fours. And what I want you to do is to very briefly, with one line only, if I hear a lot of talking, I'm going to start making noises down the microphone. Okay? One line only, I want you to tell your group something that you need a solution to. Okay? And then cross over and do that again. When you've done that, here's the ministry time. I'm going to empower you to be the solution for your friend. Okay? So what I'm going to get you to do is put a hand on the shoulder of the person. And it may be if you're in twos and threes, two of you put a hand on the shoulder. And I want you to say with confidence, not arrogance, but confidence, good news, I am the solution because I know the solution. Therefore, I release the solution into your life now. Okay? So go for it. Tell the person what you need the solution for. Maybe sickness, maybe relational. You should at least be on the bit that says, congratulations, good news, I am the solution. Okay, you can finish that. Just come back to me a second. You can finish that up again in a minute. This is not arrogance. This is identity. There's a big difference. Listen to this. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And listen to this. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You are royalty, you are an ambassador in the kingdom of God. And so we're going to go for one little other part of ministry, which is going to be impartational. Before I do that, just to let you know, next Sunday night, we have a surprise appearance from Carol Arnott, found out last week. And so Carol and Chloe are going to be tag teaming a preach about fire. We have no idea how that's going to work or what's going to happen. But we just encourage you, if you can make it next Sunday evening, that's going to be awesome. Okay, here's the deal. I felt we're going to finish with your prayers. I need you to... I'm going to be careful how I say this. I don't want you to slip into denominational, historical church prayers, because that would be the exact opposite of what I've just asked you to do. Okay? So I don't want you bowing your heads and praying to God to do something. That's the exact opposite of what I just said. I want you to look that person in the face and say, good news, I am the solution because he lives inside of me. Therefore, I am releasing the solution into your world. It's not arrogance. It's biblical theology. Okay? So don't do that whole head bowed, quiet talk thing. Confidence in Christ. You're an ambassador. Dan, I need to make sure I remember. Okay. I believe there's going to be an impartation as we finish of an impartation. It's not necessarily an impartation. It's more of an awakening. And so if you know that this message is something that you desire, but you're not necessarily walking in, then I want you to come to the front and I am going to release an impartation of what God has been speaking through me tonight into your life, into your world, as an awakening, so that you can come up to a level of maturity that changes the world around you. And so we're going to finish on that. Please hug someone before you leave. If you are new to us, please come and speak to Tom and Ellie at the front. We really want to connect you. It's not about church on a Sunday. It's about family.